Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Portland Pilots Show. We do this show every Monday night at 10 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And, of course, that'll change on November 1st when we go to Standard Time. But it's always at 10 p.m. And I am Greg Crawford. I host this show each week. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops. No, we love the West Coast Conference, but there's only one C in there, at WC Hoops. And then at www.gregcrawfordsports.wordpress.com. But the reason that this show is gaining in popularity and has a huge listenership, and I am thankful for that because I enjoy doing this show, I can really attribute it to the great work of Jason Bro. He's fabulous on this show. I first noted his talents when he did the analyst work on basketball, how fabulous he is on the radio, as he does on the road games, and he joins us most every week. As a matter of fact, Jason, we may keep Reveno, Poff, Lakeham, you name it, all the rest of Buzz Stroud, you name it, I could go through the whole lineup. We may ban him from this program, and when you can't appear, we just won't do it. What do you think of that?
That's an option, but I'll make sure we get those guys in here. They all have great insights and like to talk about UP Athletics, so we'll make sure we get them on.
Yeah, they do, and it was nice to meet Mitch Johnson at the NoHo Sports Lunch this week. Colin Pop brought him over, and he's going to be a great addition to the basketball staff.
Yeah, he is. You know, Coach Pop, I know he took Mitch over there, got a chance to meet you. Mitch is great. He's got some connections to the program through Coach Reveno. Coach Reveno recruited him out of the Seattle area to go and play at Stanford and was a point guard on those Stanford teams, graduating in 2010. He's been up in the Seattle area doing some youth basketball and AAU coaching and now joins our staff. So, you know, he's integrated well already. And, you know, it's always good. Point guard minds are always good to have on the bench. And I think he's going to add a lot to the program going forward.
No question. I totally agree with that. Jason, a little pop quiz here just to start the program. You'll get this, I think. I can't ever tell who the listeners are in this program, but of all the WCC cities, I can figure out who has the most listeners. Who do you think outside of Portland, Oregon, listens the most to this program? And we have a huge listenership.
I would say Gonzaga or BYU. They seem to have the biggest following across the majority of the sports.
Yeah, very good. It's almost tied between Spokane and Provo. So that's very good. Great analysis per usual there. How are the fall sports going? And I know we've talked about them. Soccer, cross country, volleyball, and also everybody's preparing for winter and spring. But talk a little bit more about the volleyball team. I had some questions about that this past week from people that listen to the program. They're pretty excited about it.
Yeah, it's just really been a great job by Brent Crouch in his second year as head coach, and his staff, Nellie Coleman and Dan Matthews. Have really just turned that program around and just concluded, you know, had a 10-match winning streak. They lost their opening match of the season, then won 10 in a row, and then just lost their last match down at Fresno State to Southern Utah. So they enter conference play on Thursday with a 10-2 record, which is pretty remarkable. And now the schedule gets really difficult, as, you know, the WCC has probably six or seven potential teams that are NCAA tournament caliber teams. So the, you know, the conference schedule starts on Thursday at home against St. Mary's, and then Saturday against the top 25 program in Pacific out of the Child Center. But the team's playing well. They've battled some injuries to a couple key players this year. They're redshirting their best freshmen, so, you know, despite all that, to be 10-2 and break school records for longest win streaks and best start in the program history, you know, on the heels of not winning a match 2 years ago, is pretty remarkable. So we're excited and looking forward to seeing them back at the Child Center Thursday night.
You know, in men's basketball in the West Coast Conference, we can pretty much figure out, you know, the prominent teams for the most part, and that's including the Pilots. Who are the prominent teams in volleyball in the West Coast Conference?
BYU last year made it to the national championship. So, you know, they're obviously annually, perennially an elite team. You know, there's really a lot of good programs. San Diego is generally among the top 25. Pepperdine has historically been a great program. Pacific, who's newer to the conference, is right around the top 25. And then you got teams like LMU, Santa Clara, which have had up and down. You know, literally there is last year, I think four or five teams from the WCC made the tournament. And I remember watching BYU in the championship match and talking with Coach Crouch. And he's saying, you know, literally the WCC doesn't get the respect it deserves. There was probably seven teams that could have made the tournament last year in our conference. Even Gonzaga and Portland and St. Mary's historically over the last 20 years or so have been not, you know, at the elite level. But both Portland, what we've seen what they've done this year, Gonzaga the last couple of years have been very competitive. And St. Mary's, where Coach Crouch came from, turned them around into a tournament team, you know, over the last decade or so. So really it's just, top to bottom, a really good conference. And I think we saw that in the WCC basketball, where the bottom of the conference got better, and that raised the profile of the entire conference. Well, now we're seeing that with Portland, Gonzaga. Some of these teams that used to be lower-level volleyball teams are now pretty good, and that just benefits the conference as a whole.
And I think, Jason, you know, talking about the respect factor, you know what I'm going to say next. It seems to me like it carries over to both men's and women's basketball. I'm kind of shocked always at a little bit of lack of respect for the West Coast Conference teams, which the basketball is tremendous, and it's competitive, and it always produces talented players that move on to the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of it's just the nature and the landscape of NCAA Division I athletics, you know, not just in basketball, but it's kind of transferred over to other sports where, you know, the big money BCS Power 5 conference schools now basically get to dictate their schedules. You know, you don't see a lot of home and homes between true mid majors and no home and homes between, you know, Power 5 conferences and low majors. So, you know, Power 5 conferences are willing to spend the money. So, you know, at the men's basketball level, it could be upwards of $150,000 to have a team that they know that they're going to beat on their home court to just come in and play, and they'll round out their non-conference schedule that way. And what you've lost in all of that is regional rivalries. You know, we used to have an eight-year home-and-home deal with Oregon, and that fell off the table. Oregon State, we've been able to rekindle some relationships there, but it just makes it difficult for mid-major programs that have the respect of the Power 5 schools, to the point that the Power 5 schools won't play us. And it skews RPIs, it skews home field advantages, and it's basically just a difficult spot sometimes for mid-majors because we're good enough to beat those teams, so they don't want to play us. So then we either have to, you know, take difficult schedules or, you know, not maybe get the respect that's deserved in the analytics to get those NCAA tournament bids and opportunities.
You know, you brought up the Oregon State factor there, and I think it might be a good time to just give a little plug, or it's such an important thing that's going to happen, kind of the revival of the Far West Classic, which involves University of Portland and Oregon State. Talk a little bit about the format, how that came about, and it's going to take place in middle December.
Yeah, excited. I mean, I remember growing up going to Memorial Coliseum and catching the Far West Classic with the Pilots and Oregon State and Oregon, various other teams, you know, over the years. And it was always a great time. So, you know, we've kind of had our eye and worked closely with the Oregon State administration on bringing back an incarnation of the Far West Classic. And people at the Moda Center were, you know, obviously also excited to put a tournament and event together. So we partnered with Oregon State and are deciding to do on December 18th and 19th, Friday and Saturday, back-to-back days, essentially doubleheader basketball out at Moda Center. So we'll play – Portland will play the opening game against Weber State at 4:30 on Friday, December 18th. That'll be followed by Oregon State and Fullerton in the late game, and then Portland will host Cal State Fullerton on Saturday, and Oregon State will host Tulsa. So it's not necessarily a tournament format, but it's just doubleheader basketball with a couple great Northwest programs, bringing in some other teams into Moda Center, and the start of something that will hopefully continue down the road.
And is the idea there that it might turn into a tournament format, or is that just really tough in today's scheduling and, as you alluded to, going across the country and playing and getting opponents?
I don't see that happening in the near future. It's difficult because you only get a certain amount of multi-team event tournaments that you could do from a basketball perspective. And now, with a lot of these tournaments that are already established, it becomes a little difficult. So the format works really well for us right now. Also, as you talk about Moda Center and tournaments down the road, there's that elite Nike tournament coming on in 2017 that is going to bring basically a majority of all the best basketball programs in the country to honor Phil Knight to play at the Rose Garden and Memorial Coliseum. We're a part of that, so we're really looking forward to that as well. But tournaments like that are a little more difficult to pull off. But, I wouldn't say it's out of the question, but it might be a little difficult. The format that's laid out this year seems to be a good model.
Yeah, very good. Okay, back to the fall sports. Give us a little update on the legendary cross-country team.
Yeah, cross-country, they've had some smaller meets, and they're looking forward to doing some bigger meets. Rob Connor on the men's side graduated four key players off the team that finished in third place at the Nationals, which is the best in school history, a podium finish. But it always brings in a good crop of young runners and always seems to do an excellent job of developing those guys. They have a lot of guys who redshirt their freshman year, get their training up, and then seem to come out of nowhere, and all of a sudden they're competing for All-America spots. So ranked just inside the top 25 in the initial season polls, recognizing that we lost a lot of talent to firepower, but got an elite transfer from Long Beach State, who's a fifth-year player, added in some new guys and some guys coming off redshirt. Three guys that ran at Nationals are back, so there's some experience there. So they're looking to make it, I think it's 9 straight years, finishing in the top 15 at the NCAA championships, and that. Like I say, they're kind of against the grain in terms of normally ranked in the top 15 or so, but recognizing so many good key players, key runners are gone from the team, they're going to have to prove their worth this year, and they're looking forward to it. And women, the women have done a nice job, finished second at the WCC championships last year. Coach Ian Soloff, who's a former men's cross-country runner, does a nice job with that program. They're great representatives of the university. Got off to a decent start with some West Coast previews and again, integrating some new runners. But we always look for them to compete for a top 2 or 3 spot in conference and top 10 in regionals. Last year, I think they finished 7th, and that's right about the top end of what they've done. So if they can continue to grow off of that, they'll be very excited this year.
And, of course, soccer is in full swing. One of the great programs in the country, the women's soccer program, and it's fabulous, the attendance and everything else, and it's fun to follow, and it's got a national following.
Absolutely. It was a very good week for Portland soccer. Thursday night, the men at home beat Oregon State, who was ranked 8th or 9th in the country, depending on the poll, and were undefeated. And Portland held on for a 1-0 win at Merlot Field. That's a great win for the Pilot men, something to build off of. Now they go up to Washington and play another very good team this weekend up at Washington. So hopefully the men can carry that momentum forward. Very talented team. Got a lot of good offensive players, and they figured out the defense against a very good Oregon State team. So that was good. Then the women, as you mentioned, great following, great support. Got a big win on Sunday over Washington State, who was undefeated, one of the few undefeated teams remaining in the country. No ties, no losses, and the Pilots won pretty comfortably 2-0 on Sunday at home in front of a great crowd. So that's a great result for them, as they have one more match against Denver before they open conference play. It was also exciting this weekend. Luis Robles, who was one of the all-time great Portland Pilot goalkeepers, now the starting goalkeeper for the New York City Red Bulls, visited campus, met with both teams, and then had a good game against the Portland Timbers. And, the UP alumni soccer base, from Casey Keller, who's doing, national broadcasting as part owner of the Seattle Sounders, to, the Christine Sinclairs and Megan Rapinos, who are competing in the World Cup, along with Sophie Schmidt, to the legendary names, Tiffany Milbridge, Shannon McMillan, Michelle French, so many great ambassadors to the game of soccer that have come from the University of Portland, and you know that's what makes it special. So excited, and it's always fun to root for those pilots who are doing great things in the soccer world.
Now, Jason, so the women defeated Washington State, which was having a great year, and then Portland State beats Washington State. So is it fair to say that the two Division I schools in Portland own Washington State?
Well, the Cougars for sure. The Washington Huskies got the Pilots in a very well-played game. I went up and watched that on Thursday night and got an unbelievable goal that was the difference from about 30 yards out. But Washington, you know, another top 25 team, so Pilots lost that one 2-1. But, yeah, the Cougars, you know, like I say, they were one of only about 9 teams in the country that were undefeated and had no ties. But they ran into some Portland buzzsaws this week.
Yeah, and no question, soccer, University of Portland, a tremendous program. Jason, a question I have for you is, when a student-athlete comes for a visit and thinking about going to the University of Portland, obviously they're going to look at this sport they're interested in, they're going to see the facilities, but what is the academic piece that's thrown in to that visit? Because the academics at University of Portland are renowned. So how is that approach taken when a recruit comes in?
Well, it's great. I mean, that's one of the biggest selling points, you know, for a majority of our sports, and pretty much all of our sports, is, you know, not only are you going to get to compete at the Division I level, at the highest level against elite competition, but you're also going to get an unbelievable education. You know, I mean, the profile of our university from an academic perspective continues to rise just, you know, every year in the top 10 among whatever regional U.S. news and reports or however you want to quantify small private schools. University of Portland is always among the best, and it's crazy. You know, the degree that I received back in 2003 is worth a lot more now than it was 12 years ago, just in terms of the academic profile of kids coming through, and we see the mixed SAT and GPA scores, and it's remarkable. It's very competitive. The admissions are through the roof. The profile of the kids coming in are extraordinary. And so there's a balance there. Sometimes it's difficult. It's difficult for student athletes who have so much to manage from a time perspective to get through, but that goes to who we recruit. We recruit kids who are capable of handling the workload, are challenged and excited about the challenges from both an academic and athletic perspective, and will fit our culture well. So part of it is identifying kids that you know can be successful within our systems and then supporting those kids to achieve greatness. I went in and we do a life skills class for all of our freshman student athletes. It's a 1 hour, once a week class during the fall semester that Allison Nodler, our student services and academic support person, comes on and I guest speak at, guest teach at one of her classes every year. And it's just great to see the engagement and activity of these student athletes in the classroom. They're just bright kids. So it's a huge benefit, you know, especially in, you know, the non-fall scholarship sports, you know, the Olympic sports where they distribute partial scholarships based on academic aid and stuff. You're getting the Rob Connors and the Ian Zoloffs and the Garrett Smiths, and, you know, they're getting all the great students who are getting presidential scholarships and then giving them partial athletic scholarships. So you're getting these high-profile kids who are extremely motivated, extremely smart, and great fits and ambassadors for the University of Portland.
Okay, Jason, I'm going to give you a little time to think about it because we're going to do this every show. You're going to get to ask me one question, but I'll give you time to think on that. Every show you get one question on any subject, but I'm going to take it away from sports here, a question I'm going to ask you next. We're into the election season. Do you think we'll ever have a presidential debate at the University of Portland? Child Center's famous for hosting many top events and hosting presidents.
Yeah, you know, we've hosted, off the top of my head, I remember Reagan when we opened the building. I know we've had George W. Bush as well. So there's been a few presidents that have come through, and it's kind of ironic, you know, Secret Service comes in and basically just goes through your office in advance of that. That's always been an interesting experience when the presidents have come. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think in general, in terms of hosting events, the Child Center has been a base over the years that has hosted many events from concerts to, you know, the Dalai Lama has had multiple visits to Iron Chef to, you know, like you say, presidential speakers to all kinds of high school graduations. Over the last 7 or 8 years, we've gotten a little bit away from hosting as many external events just because of the use needs that our programs have for the building. But now that we've opened the Beauchamp Rec and Wellness Center, that alleviates some of those concerns. So now we're bringing back more concerts. Neil Young is coming back to the Child Center here in the next month or so, which sold out very quickly, and hosting various music, you know, groups that come through events like that, previous events and speaker series and stuff. We want the Child Center to be a community-based venue that welcomes and, you know, invigorates conversation and brings new people to campus, and that's a great resource for it. So, yeah, I wouldn't say it's out of the question. You know, we do want to make the Child Center available, and we want the University of Portland to be a hub for intellectual thought, learning, speeches, in addition to the great athletics that goes on there.
And I'm throwing out that challenge there, Jason. I know we have administrators at University of Portland listen to this program, so there is the challenge to get a presidential debate on the campus. I think it'd be fab. And you know, they would have to continue the free parking for that, right?
I believe that's – I think it would be free parking. I don't think we've ever had an event where we charged for parking that I can remember, so I imagine it would be.
And, of course, I am the king of free parking, but on the other hand, as I think it's worth noting almost every week, it is a valuable asset to any university, especially to the sports programs.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's something that's great. You know, we're happy to offer it, and we'll continue to offer it, and it's a good advantage, especially for families.
Yeah, great. You know, basketball, as I said, not that far away. Opening home game, do you have that for both teams in basketball off the top of your head, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, I know the men open. We have our regular non-conference or exhibition game against Concordia Irvine, scheduled for the October. I don't have it in front of me off the top of my head, but that's regular late October. We always do Concordia Irvine exhibition, and then the first regular season game is going to be against Oregon Tech. Nice send-off for Danny Miles in his last year, so we want to recognize Coach Miles for all he's done for basketball in the state of Oregon, and I thought that was a nice gesture and a good job by Coach Revenoe in terms of scheduling, bringing them up in early November to give the experience of the Portland fans an opportunity to appreciate what Coach Miles has done.
Coach Miles, of course, is a very good friend of mine, and I'm very excited to see that he's well deserved to do that, Jason, and he really belongs in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. There's no question about it with his record there, and I think that'll draw a great crowd. They travel well as well, so that definitely always helps in that regard. Anything new you want to get out, Jason, that before I ask you the question you want to ask me, anything new that you want to get out on this program or something coming up or something that's really exciting that you can talk about?
Yeah, I mean, we're excited. You know, this weekend, the lights at the baseball field got plugged in and turned on for the first time. And, you know, Joe Etzel Field is turning into just a beautiful facility. You know, that's the second phase of a three-phase project. We put in the field turf and new fencing before the start of the last season. And then at the end of the year, we added the light towers. Those were activated this weekend for the first time. It looks great. And then the third phase will be next year, hoping to build brand new grandstands. But as we look forward to a new tenure with Jeff Loomis coming into our baseball program, there's a lot of good things happening around the baseball program, and that's something we're excited for this fall. So the lights turned on there, and we've talked, you know, a lot over the course of these shows about all the campus construction going on, but the pilot house. A nice restaurant bar being set up right in the center of campus where we're going to be looking to host some Coach Revenoe radio programs every Monday night during the basketball season. I think a few of those we're going to take out of the studio of Intercom and move to that pilot house location. And it's a good gathering spot for, you know, pregame basketball, postgame basketball games, and other events on campus. So we're excited to have that new renovated facility, across the parking lot from the Child Center, open up here in the next few weeks.
That is great. Okay, fire away with the question. We'll do this every week. So I didn't give you much notice tonight, but I know you're such a bright guy. You'll come up with one, and we'll do it every week. I get one question from you.
All right, Greg. Well, I know you're a big basketball guy, and basketball season's coming up, and you're a huge advocate for both, not just University of Portland and Portland State, but all small schools out there. But, you know, with all the market research shows that fans just are not attending sporting events as much, and students aren't attending as much, so we're always battling with that. Who do you think should be University of Portland's target audience for basketball? Who do we need to go after from a marketing perspective?
Well, you know what? I'm going to steal a person that's very familiar with your school because I work with him closely on certain things, and he's a great friend of mine. He's just a tremendous friend of mine, John Spolstra, sports marketer of all time. First of all, the target audience should be the students. And you got to start with a great student base, and I know that happens. It has to be consistent. And then the second part of that is I think families would really enjoy coming out to University of Portland. I think that is a target audience. And the reason I say that is it's such a great facility. I've said that since it was built. So it's not because I'm talking to you. I've said it in Philadelphia. I've said it in New Orleans. I've said it in Boston. It's a great facility. And I think that the free parking and the great concessions you have. Now, I must be honest here. I thought the concessions were going in a great direction, and it seemed like they got away with from some of the things, but I know you had talked about that's coming back. It's great food. It's a great family atmosphere. You're always treated with respect there, and you're going to get home at 9:30 at night. So, to me, it's really a family event, and I think we have so many people that are looking for a family atmosphere in this town. That would be students, families. Great question.
Absolutely. We'll preach on to your listener base. You know it better than anybody. We've actually talked about getting some new ways of attacking our student body in terms of getting them to come out, and also offering some free kids weekend events throughout the season. So we'll make sure we get you that information once we get it finalized. But absolutely on board, and would love to get all those listeners coming out to the Child Center this year.
Yeah, and we'll draw a lot of people from this show because the show is really, I mean, I got to be honest with you, Jason. It's much bigger than I thought it would be. I'm just being candid. I didn't think it'd be bad. I'm not saying that. Somebody's going to say, well, you thought it'd be bad. No, that's not what I'm saying. I kind of had a target audience in mind, talking about target audiences, and this audience is, like, off the charts here with this show. So way to go, Jason. I commend you for that. It's because you do such a fabulous job, and you really do.
Well, appreciate that, and appreciate everyone who tunes in and follows University of Portland Athletics. It's a pleasure for me to get to promote and support the programs.
Yeah, absolutely. Good night, Jason. Good night, everybody, Portland Pilot fans, and fans beyond that, sports fans who I know listen. Great job tonight by Jason Breaux, the Associate Athletic Director. If you're listening for the first time tonight, tell a friend. If you listen often, tell a lot of friends as well as the first-time listeners. Thank you, listening audience. Thank you once again, Jason. And thank you, Blog Talk Radio, for allowing something like this to take place. It's really great, and we're growing by leaps and bounds on this show. Good night, everyone, and have a great week, and don't forget to make all your free throws.